Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
Old Fashioned Football on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Play their fantasy pick'em for a chance to win 100x in NBA, MLB, NHL, golf, and more. Sign up today using promo code OFFSGPN to get 100% deposit match. We're also brought to you by the premier arbitrage sports betting tool, Avo. Use their tool to bet both sides and lock in a profit. Access their platform for free at arbsvsodds.com. That's arbsvsodds.com. Plus, in honor of Masters Week, the Golf Gambling Podcast guys are giving away a tailor-made Spider-X putter for free. Enter at sportsgamblingpodcast.com/majors.
Hey, what's up? This is Sam Acho, and you're listening to Old Fashioned Football.
Old Fashioned Football.
Make this deal right now, you pancake eating mother.
All right, deal.
49, football.
Welcome to Old Fashioned Football. If you're wondering who you listen to, this is J Mark. You can find me on the X at J Mark Football. And if you're wondering who us is, before I keep going, I got to introduce my co-host on the pod and in life. You can find her on the X at The Mermark. We have another The on the podcast, as you probably already see on your screens if you're on YouTube. But you can find her at The Mermark. And while I'm doing introductions, let's introduce our guest. Yes. Got to bring in the this guy, he's involved in every college pod that's out there for Sports Gambling Podcast Network anyways. He's a big, huge Rowdy Piper movie fan, loves all the movies. And if you want to know what his favorite college football team is.
I am an East Carolina fan.
It's the Colby D. Colby, how you doing today?
I'm doing great, and I appreciate you guys letting me hijack your show and hop on. You know, always good when it's it's always football season with me. I mean, I have a Browns Colts game from 1986 on right now, so it's always football season here. All right,
you're watching all those old games. That's how you retain all that information.
And so, yeah. I don't know if there's anybody that I know I've never met anybody that knows more college football details, stats, coaches, offensive and defensive schemes than you. Like, your knowledge base is incredible.
Well, I was lucky that I had four older brothers. And from the start, you know, I'd say this all the time is like, I didn't really have, like, I never saw Aladdin or Lion King or stuff like that. Like, I was forced, you know, I'm the youngest and I was forced to watch sports at a very young age. And it's one of those things when you're a child, you're just like, it's survivalism in a way. If you observe other people and you're like, okay, this is what I'm supposed to be doing. And then you grow up and you go, wait, what the fuck should I be doing? Essentially, like, I don't have a lot of memories that a lot of people that are my age, you know. I was talking to Sean the other day in the office, and he was saying, you never seen these movies? I was like, no, dude, I swear. Like, we were watching the original USFL came out, you know, when I was born, but I have vivid memories of playing with figures you know, not sports figures, but I'm saying like He-Man and shit while USFL or NFL or college football was on. So that's just the way I was born into it.
Yeah, that's awesome. Miranda, I don't know if you know this, and I don't know if the listeners know this, but Colby actually hates fantasy football. Do you know why?
Is this because his brother invented it?
I swear, yeah. in my neighborhood, I need to hear this story.
Yeah.
I would love to get him on now, but he's a doctor and he would never jump on a fucking show. But he, in 1991, he was friends, you know, my brother's substantially older than me, my oldest. And like, I don't even know the exact year right now off the top of my head, but he just comes home one day. And he had, I guess, had a friend in high school, or maybe it was eighth grade or ninth grade or something like that. And I think he was from New York City, if memory serves me correct. I grew up in Washington, D.C., and he's like, we got this thing called fantasy football we're going to do. And this is back. We did it on I mean, I've been in the same league since 1991 with the same owners for the most part. Only like two or three have changed. But it was on loose leaf paper for the first like 3 or 4 years. Now, you know, then came, you know, everything else, but people in my neighborhood thought my brother, like later when fantasy football caught on, like in like the late '90s to early 2000s, my friends would say, "Hey, did your brother invent fantasy football?" And everyone, and I go, "No, he just got it from some kid that is from New York City that, you know, it's to compare it to like Dungeons and Dragons or something. If you didn't know Dungeons and Dragons, you know what I mean? Back in the day, you knew through somebody. And that's essentially, I believe my brother's story is he went to school one day and this guy from New York City had moved to the neighborhood. And I guess his uncles, they were Italians and they had some thing called fantasy football that they were doing. And that's how he figured it out. But as far as like the youth knowing about it in my neighborhood, no one had ever heard of that shit. So they awesome. Thought it was him. So it was a pretty wild story when you think about it.
Yeah, that's awesome. We're going to ask Colby some more questions in just a second, but wanted to let you know, in honor of Masters Week, the Golf Gambling Podcast guys are giving away a TaylorMade Spider-X putter. Enter for free at sportsgamblingpodcast.com/masters. You have until the Masters is over to enter, and I will look the coolest at the putt-putt course with that putter. I'll tell you that.
I've got nothing for you.
So you're not drinking whiskey tonight, it doesn't look like.
You know, I'm gonna correct that problem in a minute.
I was gonna say, so you don't like fantasy football and you're not drinking whiskey.
I like fantasy football. My argument was strictly this. Yes. My argument was I remember a time without fantasy football being the key ingredient in football, right? Like now, like it took over and I was all for it. I was like, this is awesome. Now you got, you know, you join a Yahoo league, you join whatever, you know, you can play and the computer does all the scoring for you. Like I said, we used to have the old school where five of us checked the scoring, you know what I mean? But it becomes so big. It's got people that I don't think are your lay football fans. You know what I mean? Like, people that I grew up with in my clique of friends, you know, we always had a couple that didn't necessarily play sports or like sports. They started to love it because of fantasy football. And my problem, I think that I would complain about a little bit is it seems like the rules have changed to cater to scoring in fantasy football and not necessarily the people that love football for the right reasons, in my opinion. They want to protect the game. Almost like I feel like a fucking guy sitting out there at a national park before you go build a Walmart, just standing there being like, don't do it. Don't destroy it. You know, don't destroy it. And that's the way I feel. I mean, yeah, as I've talked about, I know me and J-Mark have, I'm not a fan of the NFL kickoff rule. I wasn't a fan of the previous NFL kickoff rule where they kicked it out of bounds every time. I don't like the XFL kickoff. I think that's soccer-ish. I think it's pathetic in my opinion. And I think, I don't know if that's a fantasy football thing, or I don't know if that's I find it to be a lame excuse on player safety because every stadium, you know, I feel like 90% of the stadiums now don't even have real grass. So if they really cared about player safety, they would have real grasp, because we actually have real statistics that prove that, you know, they're looking out for the player. But they say, hey, this helps with player safety, but meanwhile, you can return a punt and get concussed nonstop. So, I mean, it's, I don't necessarily buy their war. By the way, whiskey's arriving. Thank you so much. Thanks, sweetie.
I was just watching a Bill Romanowski clip, and he was talking about how there was a big pileup and he was trying to rip at the ball, but he couldn't see the ball. So he just grabbed somebody's finger and he ripped it and broke the guy's finger, heard the scream. And it's like, man, he would be fined so much nowadays, because you can barely hit.
Can you
a guy.
Imagine breaking somebody's finger on the field?
Well, I mean, that's what I'm saying. But I mean, like, this is the thing. I mean, first off, one of my best friends playing high school football had his finger ripped off. And now it was from getting stuck in a helmet, in a face mask, mm-hmm. but they were able to repair it. And he uses that finger, I think, last time I checked, we try to hide from the fact that, like, it's going to always be a violent game, or, you know, even with this, take a look at this, hear me out on this. If we're going to this XFL kickoff, which I find ridiculous, but it's still more dangerous than kicking it out of bounds. Yeah. So the NFL last couple of years, ever since they moved that kick, every kick goes, it's a touchback, goes out of bounds. So if they're trying to do player safety, you're doing something now where you're going to be kicking and they're going to be returning and running in like a 3 yard or 4 yard cloud of dust. So you've made the game more dangerous and you say it's for safety.
True.
What a world. What a world. anyway, yeah.
What's your favorite whiskey? Jameson or?
I bounce around. You know, I bartended. Yeah. I know last time I was on the show, I had some like Old Bay vodka. I was doing Bloody Marys, but I don't know that I have like Jameson's one that I think is just a solid. It's like your Coca-Cola classic to me. It's like, you know, now I will say this. I have, you know, my last name is Dant. And for years, my dad would talk about this whiskey that was famous when he was young called J.W. Dant. And we always wondered if there was a family connection there. It's not available where I grew up anymore. Like by the time I was able to drink, I couldn't find it anywhere. So, I was doing a college basketball show and I asked our audience, can anyone get me a J.W. Dant whiskey and send it to me? I would appreciate it. I'll pay for it. And I didn't even have to pay for it. They four different people, including one that like runs a liquor store in New York, who sent me a decent amount of it, but they sent me J.W. Dant.
That's awesome.
Nice.
Which it's a really cool logo. My sister-in-law had made me a t-shirt with that logo. So I actually was wearing the t-shirt even before,
that's cool.
Even before I ever tried the whiskey. Mm-hmm. But so now I get to try it. It's pretty good. I mean, look, it's like Jim Beam to me.
Yeah.
I don't know where you guys stand with Jim Beam, but it's like one of those ones where I'm not going to complain, but would I go out of my way if it didn't have my name on it? No, I would not.
Do you drink it neat? Do you drink it mixed?
Just on the rock. I mean, I'll like occasionally do an old fashioned, and occasionally I'll throw like ginger, you know, ginger ale or ginger beer or something. But most of the time I'm just on the rocks. I feel like my 20s was mostly with ginger ale.
Mm-hmm. You need to do Jameson, ginger, and lime.
Like ginger beer or ginger ale or
either.
Either. I think ginger ale is.
Ginger ale is what we've done, but I've done it as a mule too.
Yeah.
Just tons of limes though. You got to have tons of limes.
Before I had my son, we randomly, me and my wife were, you know, she's not a big drinker. And we were randomly just walking around Santa Monica and Venice and just like stumbled into we're walking past the place that's going to be playing some live music. Charles Wright, who's like a old school soul singer, was randomly performing. So I was like, hey, let's go in here and check this out. And, you know, we go in, we start dancing, have a good time. I'm like, I started ordering Jameson gingers. My wife, who doesn't like whiskey or anything, she approves of the Jameson ginger. She was like, I don't know what it is, but that But she tried it elsewhere in another place, and she said, no, it didn't taste the same. But that's so JMO ginger and whiskey ginger in general, I feel like you can never go wrong with.
Yeah. You're drinking Balcones Rye, mm-hmm. which is out of Texas. If the listeners haven't heard, we had Alex on from there. Really, really smart guy, knows a lot about whiskey.
Yes.
I'm like, for the first time ever in our show, I'm not drinking whiskey. I'm not drinking anything.
So here, you peer pressured me. I had my wife come bring it. I was drinking a beer, and then you're not drinking it.
I have an excuse. I went to the doctor today. Been having some foot pain. Turns out I got the gout, and not supposed to drink when you're having a flare up. He didn't want to give me the shot in the joint for some reason. Used a couple different excuses, saying that it would make it more painful the next 2 to 5 days. That he's seen bigger and tougher guys than me cry over their toe pain. I'm like, well, I ain't crying. Can you just get this fixed? Instead, he's got me on steroids. But so like, I better double, get in the weight room.
Like six
got
today, like a, six a double tomorrow. Pack like of
steroids.
Justin, how old are you, man?
Old enough to have gout, I guess. Well, no, just turned 37.
Happy belated. And I'm trying to put my finger on because when I was like 30, now granted, I was much more of a drunken mess. Like now, like I'll drink, but I don't really get, you know, drunk
right
these days. You know what
too
I mean?
Like, recover.
Well, I was bartending and I would get gout all the fucking time. And like anywhere from like 30 to 34.
Well, and it's not like you're drinking a ton.
No.
are you saying from
not eating a lot of red
meat? Sorry, continue.
No. So I was just trying, like, I remember having to work on my feet with gout. And that was such a especially a few times when it was really severe. It was very hard to work on your feet doing so. And it's strange. I don't know what it is, but I haven't had it in like 10 years. I'm 41. I haven't had it in 7 years, I would say. Mm-hmm. And I went to a Wyoming football game this year and my brother got it and he had never had it in his 30s, but he randomly got it. And it was crazy. Cause I was like, you know, we didn't get really fucked up the night before or anything. Like I would love to know why it is. I know they say beer and red meat, right? That's the things to stay away from, right?
Some of it. I was reading a study that they're now linking a big portion of it to high fructose corn syrup, which you're finding in. They're putting more and more of that in everything. So
we don't eat that, though.
No, we don't.
So that can't be it.
Could have something like,
or the ginger ale will have it.
The ginger, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. But maybe that's it for me. Maybe I don't know, because when I would work, I would drink ginger ale and stuff. But it's fascinating that I haven't had it. You know, in so long when I had it so consistently for like a 3 or 4 year stretch.
Yeah, that is weird.
Well, hopefully you don't get it. This hopefully is it. It's one and done.
Yep.
I don't know. This is ever since you turned 30. It
was
just
all
been
downhill from there.
One thing after another. Yeah. You had to get glasses and then you went through your 5 years of injuries.
Partially torn meniscus. I broke my ankle. I had Achilles tendonitis. I tore tendons and
bone spur issues.
He's got the Larry Bird thing going on. He's a blue collar guy, you know, and shout out to Kathy Mark. I appreciate her saying, how's it going? And she's always in here. You know, I feel like, you know, Larry Bird, a lot of people don't know that he got his really bad back injury, not from playing basketball. He, as a millionaire, decided his mother needed a driveway, a new driveway. So he actually put the driveway in, and that's how he got his career ending injury, essentially.
Interesting. Mom, don't get any ideas. also, Dad checking in. They're big fans of you. First, hey, Cody. Damn, I did it again. Hey, Colby.
Hey, shout out to RMark57. Appreciate you guys. Appreciate everyone joining.
I promise we're going to talk football. But, I mean, before we do, Miranda, we need you to tell people where they can play a little fantasy.
Over on Underdog. Underdog Fantasy is the easiest place to play fantasy sports. It's also the fastest growing fantasy app in the industry. Underdog's Pick'em game is super easy. Pick whether your favorite players will have a higher or lower stat total in this week's game for a chance to win big. You can win up to 100 times your money in a single night. All you have to do is pick between 2 and 5 players to build a Pick'em entry. And don't forget, you can draft your best ball teams now. I drafted my first team last year and made my money back. And this year, I am going to win a lot more. Justin, do you have any UFL bets you like this weekend?
Yeah, I mean, shout out to Underdog for getting UFL. It's the only place you can kind of get this kind of action. But we can ask Colby if he likes this or not. But I like Sal Canella higher than 38.5 yards. Darius Victor, saw he's questionable. And, they might limit him. They do have Titus Swen. So I like lower than 37.5 rushing yards. Marquez Stevenson, that St. Louis Battlehawks defense is terrible. So higher than 48.5. Darius Shepherd, he gets a lot of targets, higher than 53.5. And then Reed Sinnott, you're not passing on the Michigan Panthers, lower than 198.5 passing yards.
All right, well, sign up today with promo code OFFSGPN and get your first deposit doubled up to $100, as well as an instant pick'em special. Visit underdogfantasy.com or find them in the App Store. And don't forget to register with our promo code OFFSGPN to get your first deposit doubled up to $100, as well as an instant pick'em special.
Must be 18 plus and present in the state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concern with play. Call 1-800-522-4700 or visit www.ncpgambling.org. All right. And we're back. Colby, real quick before we get to football, congratulations on being a new dad.
Oh, thank you.
Congratulations.
Yeah, thank absolutely. You.
It's,
go ahead.
No, it's an honor to teach an infant triple option football at such a young age.
Love it. The T formation, the wishbone. I mean, all those good things. I got to ask though, you're a comedian. Have you mastered dad jokes?
I want to say a little bit. First off, obviously he doesn't speak yet. He was born on January 31st, but White Tiger, that's his government name. So I like to give White Tiger some credit here. White Tiger, I figured out how to make a smile on his face.
Nice.
A tiny bit of a laugh, a smile on his face, and it normally involves with me hurting myself. So it's like Three Stooges comedy. It's like if I can accidentally hit myself, I think he finds it entertaining. So it's old school humor.
I love it. Shout out to Moneyline. God bless you, Miranda. I don't know how you're putting up with these two jackasses.
100%. 100%.
It's a good time.
I know why. I know why. She like yesterday, she was probably just thinking, oh gosh, I just don't want to talk to these fucking idiots. You know what I mean?
I'm not doing it.
Like, I just had a long day at work. I got to go talk to these idiots about nothing. This guy's going to bring up football in 1971. You know what I mean? Like
from the 80s, all this 80s football.
Absolutely. Exactly.
So let's jump into football. And as soon as we talked about having you on the show, I wanted to ask you this. Now, at the time, I still thought Justin Fields was going to be our quarterback. I was still set on that. I thought we were going to keep him, trade the number one pick. There are rumors saying we got offered, that the Commanders actually offered us. I know. Who are the Commanders?
I was about to say, never heard of them.
The Washington Redskins offered us the second pick plus a 2025 first round and a 2026 first round. I thought we could have built around Fields on that, but that's over and done with. Fields is gone, obviously. It looks like we're drafting Caleb Williams. Can you sell me on this barely 6'6" quarterback? Because I'm just not sold. I mean, he played at 6'1", but now I'm hearing he's closer to 6 foot.
Well, I think you could also ask the other question. Are the Bears ever going to handle a first round quarterback accurately? Even Jim McMahon, I would feel like, and Jim's been on our show a bunch of times, and That would be the one that stands out, but I still think like his career was cut short. Now some of that was because of a late hit, but
when he got body slammed, basically, is that the one you're talking about?
Yeah. Yeah. It's the Packers. I guess can the Bears invest in a quarterback? Cause you look at the other ones, Cade McNown, Rex Grossman, you go on and on and on. I'm probably forgetting some too. Jim Harbaugh being one. I think he was a first round. It might've been a second. Tom Zach might've been, I think he might've been later in the draft, but they haven't had a great history of doing that. So concerning, but do I think he's an incredible prospect? I do. Yeah. There's certain things that you can't teach, and that's poise. Like, you watch college football, no, basically no quarterbacks have poise, really. Very rarely. You know what I mean? And you watch the NFL. I don't think a lot of quarterbacks have poise. Now, the best ones do. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like Mahomes or Russell Wilson in his prime, or, you know, some of the other greats. But Caleb Williams, the first time he took a snap, because he was a high recruit, and they had Spencer Rattler, who's also in this draft. Mm-hmm. He was at Oklahoma at the time. Spencer Rattler was a five-star out of Arizona that everyone was super excited about. And, you know, I do think he's going to end up in the NFL too, but I was a bit shocked because I knew Caleb Williams actually from where I grew up. And I was like, he can't be better than Rattler after Rattler started a few years. It's very rarely where a freshman quarterback right away be that good. Mm-hmm. He was, and he was clearly better to me than Spencer Rattler. And then he transferred to USC, had a great year. And then last year didn't have a great year, but it doesn't matter to me. He has poise. And that's one of the biggest elements to me in being a quarterback. And then also to me, he has an unbelievable arm and accuracy. Like the only ones that I would say that, like to me, like certain plays with Mahomes, you would see and just say, you didn't see it that much in college at Texas Tech, believe it or not. I feel like I was watching like a preseason game when he first got drafted by the Chiefs. I think they were playing the Falcons, if memory serves me correct. And Mahomes like rolls out and just throws the ball. And you go, what in the fuck is that? I go, he has reminded me of John Elway. And that you don't have that much. I know. I think it was in the San Jose State game last year that Caleb Williams, I think it was, like he drops the ball, low snap. The ball goes around. He picks up the ball. He rolls around, doesn't panic. Cause I think 90% of quarterbacks, and even in the NFL, if that's Kirk Cousins, you know, he's going to take a sack.
Right.
He doesn't panic. He plays football and then fires just a ball like 60 yards down the field. And you're just like, oh my God. Like it's like watching Barry Sanders or something. You know what I mean? Like there's not many players, especially that are that young that can do that. So now I know there's a whole thing about, you know, opting out, or he asked for his family wanted a part of the ownership money. I don't know if that's even true, but you know, they want a percentage of the team. I don't know any of that stuff, but I can tell you this is raw skills. He's I'd say one of the better ones I've seen over the past 20 years. Now that doesn't mean he'll be good though.
Right.
Because it's all about what team you're drafted by. You know what I mean? And it's like a marriage. You know what I mean? Like you got to have investment in that. And the Bears have always had issues with doing that.
I do feel like we've set him up to succeed. I mean, DJ Moore, we brought in Keenan Allen, Cole Kmet's a solid tight end. They took D'Andre Swift, who I don't think is a great back, but he's a good, like my quarterback is in trouble, you can dump the ball off to me type of guy. I won't be sold on him until I see it on the field, just because I was so against him that I'm not going to flip now. The ego thing, he's got a huge ego and it drives me a little nuts. Like you were alluding to some of the things that have come out of his camp, whether that's really him, but you brought up Jim McMahon, last successful quarterback, really
big personality.
Yeah. For the Bears had a big personality. That was Jim McMahon, totally different type of big personality, but still a big personality, big ego, wouldn't listen to the coach. One of my favorite Caleb Williams plays is I've been watching highlights and trying to sell myself on this. I don't remember the team, but he's rolling from pressure to the sideline and he just kind of flicks it like that. And it looks like he's going to throw it out of bounds and he drops it right over the DB to his wide receiver. And it's like, okay, that's an impressive play.
What game was that? I was watching that play too. And I think it was Washington. I think it was the Washington game, who played for the national championship. When he was at Oklahoma, he had a play. They were playing Kansas. They would have lost to Kansas, who was really bad at the time. Kansas has since gotten better.
Yeah.
They were like the worst program out of any Power Five during this like 10-year stretch. And they were going to get upset by him. They had, I think it was a fourth and three or four. And he did a like an option read to run it. And he was aware enough they gave it to the running back, and the running back was getting stopped short. He stripped his own running back of the ball and ran for a first down on a critical fourth down. Most important play in the game. And I thought, man, what great awareness this guy has, because he knew the moment. That's what I mean. There's sometimes you just watch football and you see guys that have, especially I think at quarterback, it's very rare, but if you have the it factor of and part of that, the it factor to me is the poise. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I just touched on Kirk Cousins has been in the league 15 years. I feel like a while. And I feel like if one little thing goes wrong, you know, not to just say Kirk Cousins, but there's a lot of that, you know, whether it's Garoppolo, whether it's just like, you know, it's like, whereas like there's gamers. And to me, mm-hmm. Caleb Williams has proven that he's a gamer and he's got the poise. So yeah, I mean, who knows where his head's at? You never know. Like I one of the ones I was like, my worst projection ever was I thought Ryan Leaf would be good. Right. Well, right. I didn't know he was a maniac though. So you never know. Like they did the Wonderlic, you know, you don't know what's going on the Wonderlic stuff. And then also you don't know how he's answering an interview. So like if Ryan Leaf was in college, I was like, man, he's got some raw skills.
Yeah.
But I didn't know he was like a maniac that was like definitely not paying attention to football, just getting, you know, getting effed up all the time.
Yeah.
You know, he had no real desire to be great. You can't know that unless you're interviewing these people yourself, you know?
Sure. Mm-hmm. Makes sense. Last thing on kind of Caleb Williams that I'm going to ask you, last year you were on our show and you said Anthony Richardson was kind of like a Madden creative player. Now, Anthony Richardson is a much bigger build than Caleb Williams, but because of the way he can move around, he has that awareness and he can do those flick of the wrist throws. Is Caleb Williams your guy that is most like that this year? Or is there somebody different that's more like a Madden creative player this year? Or is there none?
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't call him a creative player. Like, cause Anthony Richardson's is like the best comparison to me was like LeBron James. Like, I remember the first time I saw LeBron James, you're just like, what? I'm like, he's like 6'9". And like the only other comparison was Magic Johnson. But even that, like Magic Johnson was not as athletic as LeBron James was. And you're just like, I remember creating a player in NBA Live and you would just give the attributes for every single thing. And, you know, that was LeBron James, like in real life. And I feel the same way about Anthony Richardson for the most part. Now, I mean, he was so raw. I thought he should have stayed in college to develop his game more. So he still could miss, but I still think he's almost like nothing I've ever seen. But whereas Caleb Williams, I do think is a lot like to me. I know this is a ridiculous conversation we're about to enter, but I see the Mahomes and Elway. Like I see at mobility that can get, escape the pocket. He never panics from the rush of the, doesn't matter if they get beat on the first half second of the play, you know, he's cool and collected and he has an arm like that where you don't see that very often.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I don't care who you bring up, Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, like you didn't see arms like that. Like, you know, they were still decent arms, you know, they were good arms, but like when you watch Elway Mahomes and then like you see like a couple Caleb Williams plays, I don't even know if Williams deserves to be on that level yet because we've only seen it like once or twice there on that. But it's like playing a video game. I'll say that. Yeah. It's not a creative player, but it's like when you would play the old Madden games or the college football games, there's times where you're about to get tackled and you're falling down, but because it's a video game, you can still press the button and like you're falling down and like the guy throws it like 70 yards.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's kind of what he can do sometimes. So, run with it there.
My only advice to him is because obviously he listens to our show, that you're going to get drafted by the Bears. It's pretty obvious. Stop saying your favorite quarterback in the NFL right now is Aaron Rodgers. You got to stop doing that for Bears fans.
I didn't know he was What?
Yeah, that's his favorite.
Why?
It's got to be his. It's got to be his politics, right?
Yeah, I'm sure it is.
He's doing darkness retreats with him.
Darkness that's retreats why. With Rodgers.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Well, so of the quarterbacks in this draft, a lot of people are going to be getting ready for their dynasty fantasy football leagues. And, you know, among the top names for quarterbacks, we just talked about Caleb Williams, but there's Drake May, Jaden Daniels, JJ McCarthy. Based just on skill set and how they looked in college, I mean, obviously we can't predict injury. Will Caleb Williams be the one that puts up like the biggest numbers in his career?
I think it's tough because you need to know what teams they go to. I was bullish on Baker Mayfield. I thought he would be, and then I got the Browns draft. I'm like, oh, he's fucked. Right. I'm like, he's not going to be good. You know, I thought with the right coaching, now he still made the playoffs a couple times, but I'm saying like with the right coaching, I didn't think he'd be, you know, Hall of Fame good, but I thought he could be a good quarterback in the NFL. It depends on the team, but because I could totally see a couple of these guys, I guess this will kind of answer your question, is like Michael Penix is one that I think he reminds me of. There was a quarterback way back in the day named Warren Moon. Michael Penix reminds me of him. Like his accuracy is very, very good. He's more athletic than Warren Moon was, in my opinion. And then he's not a runner by any means, but he's just athletic enough that I think he could be an X factor with his legs and mobility. I know, you know, if you read all these things, you see him further down than a lot of other quarterbacks. Don't understand why. I guess injuries. He's been injured a lot in his college career. Maybe that's one reason why, but I certainly would take him over a few other quarterbacks that are ahead of him and a lot of the projections, I would say. That's one that comes to mind. And I'm also kind of high on, people were making fun of his pro day, but that doesn't mean anything to me. Jaden Daniels for LSU. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was impressed with this kid as a freshman. He's out of Pasadena, California, and he went to Arizona State with Herm Edwards in the most, you know, conservative, shitty offense. He still managed to look good. And then he ends up transferring to LSU and he wins the Heisman Trophy, you know, 2 years later. I still think he is he's a runner. Like he's a guy that could really be. And I love these people that say, oh, you can't run like that in the NFL anymore. Look at RG3. I'm like, I don't buy into that. You got injured. Yeah. Okay. I don't think of the NFL as hard hitting anymore. You know what I mean? Like, I think they'll protect the quarterback. And if he slides, like, no, he'll be fine. He's got to me a huge upside.
Yeah.
Now he needs to be drafted by the right team. Cause I also think he could be horrible in the wrong hands, but, those are ones that really catch my eye in the first round that could go, that could potentially end up being better than Caleb Williams because Caleb Williams goes to the Bears
and we'll destroy him.
We'll destroy. Yeah. I'm convinced we're turning around. I like Penix as well. My biggest concern would be injury. Just a little shameless plug for my article. Go check out the 7-round mock draft, because unlike these guys on other 4-letter networks, I don't stop writing notes about the players at the 3rd or 4th round. There's something all the way to the very last draft. I've got Penix going to the Raiders. That's who I have selecting him. And I think they have to up their offense a little bit, but I think he's got the right mentality and fit to be a Raider, honestly.
Yeah, I like him as a human being. You know, like a lot of the things he said, I know he had to wait to become really the man. You know what I mean? Like, I know he had years at Indiana where he was solid, but he got injured. I always think like, and once again, I'm not advocating for injuries, but I do believe that injuries can teach you things.
Yeah.
Injuries, you sit back and watch. In general, to me, like whenever you go through any challenge in life, whether, you know, the more adverse that's when you learn about yourself. Adversity is when you learn about yourself. And then I also think there's a reward to getting to seeing the game from a different point of view, from the coordinator's point of view, from the coach's point of view. Mm-hmm. And even when you're a backup, sometimes, you know, I don't think you're really focusing like that because you're thinking, oh, I'm not going to be the starter. After a few years of starting and then that happening to him, I think there's a reward in that. And, you know, I thought it showed last year at Washington.
Yeah. I'll tell you what I learned when I broke my ankle from my injury. I learned I can walk on a max of 2 days. The third day, it's we got to go to the ER and figure out what's going on. And that I get very frustrated when Miranda has to do everything, the grocery shopping, the mowing, everything.
She's teaching you patience, right? And yes, yes. And I'm telling you, man, I mean, I've never broke my ankle, but I severely sprained it. And that was the worst though, man. Like just hobbling around. How'd you break it?
Being stupid.
I was drunk. Actually,
that means drunk.
I was in your lovely state and it was way, way Northern California. We'd actually been in Oregon on our 10-year anniversary. We came down to California. Check out these beautiful redwoods. Everybody's talking about.
Tell me you karate kicked one.
I wish.
He hugged one.
I hugged one because a buddy of mine, for whatever reason, he's like, I need a picture of you hugging one of these redwoods. So I was like, all right. And as I was coming down, I thought, oh, the ground looks flat there because you got to climb down from their massive root systems. And I jumped. It was not flat. There was a little root there. And I just.
And it didn't look bad. You felt kind of in slow motion. It was weird. And it's at the head of the trail.
Yeah.
So he's laying there on the ground and I'm like, okay, well, let's get up. Like, get up. There's a group, like a family just got out of their van, just right, like not far from us. And then there's another car that had parked off of the side of the road and they're all getting out. So there's this big group coming and you're laying in the trail path. And
I told you, I need a minute.
And I was like, why? Like, I was just like, get up. You're fine. Get up. And I didn't know he broke his ankle.
Yeah.
So, how long did it take you to know you broke your ankle?
The third day when I went to the ER.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. It wasn't like a super clean break. It was an avulsion fracture.
You
so
had three breaks though.
Yeah, basically the tendons or ligaments, pieces of them rip and it takes part of the bone with it. And that's what I had, two in my foot and one in my ankle, I think. Mm-hmm.
Sounds painful. Sounds very painful.
Just from like a from slow a motion falling too. It was weird.
Real quick, I think you got one more question on quarterbacks, but I got to let you know we're brought to you by Avo. We're proud to partner with Avo, the premier sports betting arbitrage tool. If you're new to arbitrage sports betting, it's very simple. Basically, betting both sides of a bet at two different sports books to lock in a profit. The Avo tool scans the sports books looking for discrepancies in the odds and then tells you how much money you need to place with each sports book and the expected profit. The tool is super easy to use. It's lightning fast and, that's just a big part of arbitrage sports betting. You got to be fast. The best part of Avo is it's currently free to use without restrictions. That's right, completely free. Get started today at arbsversusodds.com. That's arbsversusodds.com. Again, that's arbsversodds.com.
All right, my last quarterback question for you. Are there any Brock Purdy's in this group, like Mr. Irrelevance, who are going to be someone who can be drafted really late, end up being a star within the right team? I mean, we've got like Milton from Tennessee. He has that big arm. Jordan Travis from FSU has a little bit of splash. Is there anybody?
Those two don't really do it for me, but I will say Michael Pratt out of Tulane is one I would keep an eye out for. Brock Purdy was a solid QB. I mean, I was a little surprised he went that late, but, it didn't surprise me that, you know, he can win games in the NFL. I forever have arguments in the office, SGPN office about what I think it's highly overrated. The whole quarterback, you got to draft you need a franchise quarterback, you know, even in this day and age where it's like, well, if you look at Tom Brady's run, you know, he lost to Nick Foles. Mm-hmm. Probably he should have lost to Matt Ryan. If they don't hold the ball and just kick a field goal, you know, they held on back-to-back plays. If they kick the field goal there, they lose. Jake Delhom actually threw for more yards and didn't throw an interception that game. He actually played better than Brady in that game. And, and then Eli Manning, who I don't think should be sniffing the Hall of Fame, even though I know they're going to put him there. So to me, it's like, I get it. Tom Brady's, and I'm not trying to shit on Tom Brady. He's a great quarterback, but my point is like, Adam Vinatieri had to make 50-yard field goals to beat the Carolina Panthers and Jake Delhomme, right?
Yeah.
They were that close. I don't want to hear, he didn't get it done. okay, if Vinatieri doesn't make a crazy field goal, then Dell Holmes the champion. Nick Foles was a backup. He is a champion. You can't tell. I can go. We can go back to Mark Rippon, wherever. I don't buy into it as much as I think the media does, but I do think Michael Pratt is a guy to watch. I think he could be good, depending on the team, depending on the situation. I think he actually, like, Purdy was always kind of a game manager.
Yeah,
and mm-hmm. and you know, there's a home for that. Kirk Cousins made a hell of a lot of money in his life being a game manager, in my opinion.
$400 million.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. So Michael Pratt can do that, I think. And that'd be an interesting one to see what team.
You know, I have him going to the Saints. I don't think Derek Carr is going to last much longer there.
Yeah, that would be interesting. And he's, you know, obviously he went to college at Tulane, so he would be a fan favorite. It'd be like Bobby Hebert 2.0, if you know your history there. Let's go.
There you go.
Yeah.
We don't have to spend a ton of time on running backs because I'm not super impressed by this class, and the running back thing has been weird in the NFL, but
it's always a big like debate though. Running backs always in the draft. And I know last year at the Fantasy Football Expo, there was a major debate on who was going to be the top rookie running back. And it was all Jahmyr Gibbs and
everybody was on Gibbs.
Gibbs and not Bijan Robinson. Both ended up being top 10 fantasy football running backs. And this year, NFL paid running backs in the free agency. And it seems like the only team who's looking for a true number one is the Cowboys.
Mm-hmm. Unless they bring Zeke back.
unless they do that. But it feels like a really thin class though. So do you have any opinions on the running backs?
Well, I like Jonathan Brooks. I mean, I was high on Bijan Robinson last year, and these Texas running backs have all been, I know they have an awesome offensive line. Robinson really showed though that I thought he was NFL ready. Like watching him in college, you'd be like, okay, he's really good. Brooks isn't that good, but I do think he could be a good running back in the NFL. A couple that are like, I guess interesting to see how they would do would be like Ray Davis for Kentucky. Mm-hmm. He was a transfer from, I believe, Vanderbilt, if memory serves me correct. And I kind of was impressed by him. Like I still think he's a little raw, but that'd be one to watch. And then I'm curious, like Marshawn Lloyd, I thought it was stupid. I know he was college or high school teammates or whatever with Caleb Williams. But I didn't understand why he transferred from USC. I'm sorry, from South Carolina to USC. Mm-hmm. Both schools refer to themselves as USC, so it's tricky. It didn't make sense for me. I thought he regressed because of it, because Lincoln Riley never runs the ball. And but that's one that I do think, like, because he had such a bad senior year, he might be better than what we think he is. Because of that. So that's one I'm very curious on. But no one jumps out like Bijan to me.
Yeah.
Or even Jahmyr Gibbs. Jahmyr Gibbs, I thought, was kind of like Eric Metcalf or something, where it was like he's just dynamic in the open field and he can catch the ball so well. I don't think that there's anyone that's really on that level.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That I would feel comfortable saying.
Sure. And I think Brooks will go to Dallas. Their team doctor is the one that did his ACL repair and has basically cleared him, said he's good to go. So I think the stars are kind of aligning there. You talked about Texas running backs. They've been good recently, except Roschon Johnson hasn't really done shit for the Bears. So,
he was a backup. I mean, I don't know. Like, to me, Bijan and Texas's offensive line has been so good later. Like this past year was like, really good offensive line. They got a bunch of draft picks there. Yeah. So it makes it harder to read how good the running back is. Like at least Bijan, they were getting better under Bijan on the offensive line, but there were certain plays where you watch Bijan, you're like, that guy is an NFL running back. He's just ready. He's better than every single player on the field.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, J Mark, like when it's like watching, remember when Kevontae Turpin had that year in the USFL. You're just sitting there watching. You're like, how the hell is he not on the NFL roster? You're like, this, he's just way better than everybody on the field. So Bijan was like that in college, and I don't know that anyone in this class really jumps out like that.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I agree. I mean, I don't watch as much college football, obviously, but I agree with you.
It fits. You know, you're good. You're good. You watch still college football, so
yeah.
You know,
let's flip to the wide receivers because that's a loaded class.
It is. I feel like the biggest question, and it might not have an answer, to be honest. But better long term career given no injury, Marvin Harrison Jr. I said it correctly. I did not say Marvinson.
No Marvinson. This
Marvinson. Whatever I said. Anyway, Marvin Harrison Jr. or Malik Nabers.
I would probably say Marvin Harrison Jr. there. Mainly just because of the pedigree, you know, like his dad did it for so long. And I feel like the game is a lot softer now for like those guys that were smaller wideouts struggled more back in the day. The game now is catered to them more. So I would say that you don't really have to worry about them not being able to, you know, before you would worry, you know, like, can he get off the ball? Can he get off the line of scrimmage? You know, now it's like, that's just the way the game's played. So, I think I would lean Marvin Harrison Jr., but I think both will be good.
Yeah. And yeah, it's like I said, a loaded receiver class. You got those two. You got Roma Dunze, who everybody says is going to be really, really good. There's guys like Xavier Worthy, who is a really fast, obviously broke the 40 record. He's going to fit into an offense and be kind of a piece similar to Tyreek Hill, where you can move him everywhere. He's faster than everybody. But I found it interesting, Steve Smith, and maybe he took too many hard hits. I'm going to rely on your opinion here, but he said he thought one of the best receivers not being talked about was Xavier Leggett. What are your thoughts on him?
Well, I mean, Steve Smith, he did take, he's ready to take some hard hits right now too. you know, that's a guy that you never want to talk shit to, essentially. He definitely, like,
he's wrong.
Well, he went to Santa Monica, like, community college, which was not far from where I live right now. And he's just a, I kind of like his projection of it. Steve Smith plays like a maniac. Mm-hmm. And I feel like Leggett definitely flying under the radar, and he's super physical. Yeah. So, and you look at what he did against some of the better teams a year ago, I think he had a pretty big day against Clemson. Clemson's defense is always good. You know, like, if anything, it's their offense that struggled. I mean, I don't think he had like a 200 yard day or something, but he was still like effective against Clemson, if memory serves me correct. Also against Florida, against North Carolina and stuff. But and even Georgia, I think he played pretty solid too. So to me, he's passed the test on that. So I would agree with Steve Smith that I think he could be a very good player. And I'm never going to question Steve Smith because he plays, you know, that's like, he played football, right?
Yeah.
I love Steve Smith.
Yeah. I'm going to do some video editing and we're going to have Colby going, I'm questioning Steve Smith. I'll tag Steve in there.
Yeah. I love Steve Smith. So, I mean, I want to trust him on this, but also, I mean, if you watch South Carolina, like he was very good. And to me, you're playing in the SEC. You do play against a lot of great corners and safeties and, you know, so I would buy into that. I would put some weight into what he's saying too. And if you watch the tape kind of tells you he's a beast.
Yeah. So I never look at mock drafts until I'm done with mine. So it's after I finished mine, I looked at a bunch of them, and he's one of the hardest that I feel like the analysts out there are having trouble reading. He's as early as the second round or as late as the late fourth, early fifth, I think I saw. So he's all over the board. Usually you don't see that much variance out of somebody. So definitely some people have seen a lot of good stuff, others questioning it, but yeah, I'll agree with you that Steve Smith, I mean, I don't want to meet him in a back alley, so I'll agree with him. Why not?
Yeah, no, and I feel like he would know. I mean, one of the things I like about Steve Smith is, like, even now you see him when he's doing the analyst, he's ready to go at all times. He's got that Rudy syndrome, man. He was an undersized wide out, and he's to me, like, so he, if he's, I can honestly say, like, I think he probably looks at, you know, how strong are you? Steve Smith was an incredible blocker. People don't realize how good of a blocker he was. So I do think he's probably looking at some intangibles there that we probably don't see, or the, you know, that we're probably not paying attention to when we see a 50-yard touchdown or something. So it might not be that. It might be the 3-yard play where the running back reverses the line of scrimmage and, you know, it's a great block or something like that. So, but what I'm interested on is Keon Coleman. I think that's the one that I think is, I feel like I could be so wrong about Keon Coleman.
I'm taking notes over here.
She's, I know,
peeking, like, at my notes.
Like, look at you. You're writing stuff down. I was like,
well, Keon Coleman, like, he was at Michigan State for his first 3 years, mm-hmm. or maybe even 4 years, because the COVID year. And Michigan State was super conservative to me. They've had, and if anything, once their receivers all went and transferred or went to the NFL, they all, like, you're like, whoa, they had these guys. Well, he transferred to Florida State last year and Mike Norvell knew how to use him. And you watch those games, you're like, who the hell is that? Now, I would have liked to see him do that longer in his college career. Mm-hmm. So I feel like if you're asking me which one is the biggest variance where he could be a bust or could be really fucking good, based on what I saw, I was convinced, you know, that he might have been the best receiver in the nation last year at times. You know, like, he was just like, whoa. But I was just dumbfounded. I was like, how did Michigan State not utilize this? You know mm-hmm. what I mean? Like, I would, so the sample size is really small, but I'm kind of fascinated by that one. But if you told me who's the wideout that I could miss on the most, it might be Keon Coleman, because he reminds me of, like, I don't even know if this is a great comparison, but, like, there was a guy in the 90s named Derek Alexander who I thought was going to be really good that ended up being all right. Had like a 1,000-yard season or two. But, like, when you watched him in college, you were like, whoa, he could really be something, or Michael Westbrook or something like that. And I feel like Keon Coleman's that guy in a way. I'm eager to see what team drafts him. I'll put it like that. Yeah. That's one that I think the right team drafts him, you could get a Hall of Famer. You know, he could become a Hall of Famer. And if the wrong team drafts him, he might be out of the league in 3 years. So, yeah.
Interesting. You know, fantasy football people, I'm going to kind of move from wide receivers to tight ends here. Mm-hmm. They never used to really care about rookie tight ends. Rookie tight ends couldn't really make an impact. And now we've seen them. I mean, Kyle Pitts, his rookie year, he was made an impact. I know after that,
I'm tired of you talking about Kyle Pitts. Sam Laporta. That's the only tight end name, rookie name, that should come out of your mouth.
Yeah. Sam Laporta, obviously incredible season last year with the Lions. Do you think Brock Bowers' game will translate? I mean, some are saying he's just a little too small as a tight end, but they line him up at the slot a lot too. Do you think that translates to the NFL?
Yeah, I think it'll be fine.
Yeah.
Like, unbelievable mismatch potential. It all matters the way you use your tight ends, but I mean, like, I think he'll be good unless he got injured or something, because
yeah.
I mean, I'm so disappointed that he went to Georgia out of Northern California. He's from, like, Napa Valley.
Is he?
And he goes to Georgia. He goes to fucking Georgia. And I'm like, you know, I get mad at that, because I'm like, why couldn't you put the fence up at UCLA or someone? You know, it would help the balance of college football. But, you mm-hmm. know, you see this with so many players, whether it's Tua, whether we just talked about, what's his name? The quarterback from LSU. I'm drawing a blank on his name right now. Yeah. They all come from California and they end up over there. I think he'll be fine though. That guy runs up hills nonstop. He's got the old Walter Payton shit going on. You know what I mean? Like, where you just, you see him in the hills of California, just all off season running up hills. And, I'm sold. If you can play at Georgia and you're playing Alabama and you're playing, you know, in the national championship, whether it was TCU, whether it was, you know, who'd they get the year before? It was Bama. I mean, I think he'll be good. Mm-hmm. like, he's very athletic for his size, I would say. So I think he'll be fine. Yeah. I'm not going to buy into the, I think a lot of the stereotypes that say that, it's not 20 years ago. Like, 20 years ago, you needed that gigantic Ben Coates tight end. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. I think you can get away with that now easily. I mean, another example would be what I just said, the scat receiver. Every team's got the scat receivers now. So,
yeah. And I mean, credit to him, besides the fact that he is a quote unquote smaller tight end, he's actually a pretty decent run blocker. So he's not going to be pulled off the field.
You got to be, if you're playing for Kirby Smart, you got to be able to block. Sure. Yeah. Yeah.
We got to see him play a little bit in person at the Vanderbilt game. That was the game he got injured in. So we didn't get to see him play a full game, but it was fun seeing him play. He's an impressive player for sure.
Yeah. I think he'll be good. I mean, you know, I think the big one though is are you going to mention your boy out of Eric All? Are you going to mention him or?
You know, we barely claim
the
him.
Elephant in the room because he was it was the transfer.
Yeah. We barely claim him. He's not going to be a Sam Laporta or a T.J. Hockenson, George Kittle. He's not the same pedigree in my opinion.
No, not we didn't make him one this year.
Yeah. Do you think he's going to have a success? I mean, probably not to those levels.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to compare him to them, but I think he'll be a good pro. I think he'll be in the NFL for like 10 years. You know, like I think he'll be fine. And he has potential to be like your ceiling on him is a Pro Bowl tight end. I don't know that he will be, but I think he could be. But yeah, either way, Iowa tight ends always find their way into the first round or two.
Yeah,
they do.
Ferentz, Kirk Ferentz. It's hard to not the other Ferentz, but Kirk Ferentz. Yeah. It's hard to fade
well,
in.
Well, I don't know. Brian was in charge of that offense. I mean,
Kirk. It's hard to fade him for offensive line and for tight ends. It seems like I got a call from his agent once, just very randomly, because of an article I had written about NFL free agents, and he was the agent for this NFL offensive lineman. I'm drawing a blank on the name, but he's also the agent for Kirk Ferentz. And he was like, do you know why this guy can play? I just want to know if you can change in your article that he can play any position along the line. And I'm like, yeah, I can do that. He's like, do you know why? Cause Kirk Ferentz is the best goddamn offensive line coach that you'll ever meet. He's the best in the business. And it's,
I mean,
like,
he's no lies detected there.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like,
it's wild talking to that guy.
A normal sports agent, I feel like there's a lot of lies. Mm-hmm. But he, I don't know. There's something about you, J Mark. He's a straight shooter over there with you.
Right.
So, Colby, are there any other like tight ends in the draft that we need to watch out for? Keep an eye on?
I do think like Jaheim Bell is an interesting one out of Florida State. And then, there's one that I like named Ben Sinnott. Or Sanat. I've heard an announcer say both.
Yeah. I don't know how it should be pronounced.
He's getting a lot of comparisons to Cole Kmet right now.
Look, Kansas State's offense, much like we were just talking Iowa, like they're a conservative offense. Yeah. So they're not going to open it up with Ben Sinnott. But I'll put it like this. For like the past 2 or 3 years, I've watched, they got to get that guy the ball more. He's better than everyone on their offense. They didn't really do that often though, because that's their game and they win games. But I'm interested to see how he'll be in the NFL, because I can tell you, he always impressed me in college. Yeah. He always impressed me. And Jaheim Bell's one that I wouldn't even put him on that level. He's more of a question mark for me, but there's been games where I've seen him go off where I want to see, but Ben Sinnott or Sinnott would be the one that I think he could be really good. Like, I think he could be flying under the radar.
Yeah. Okay. Cheers to Channing Brown, who has made the tour from Bottom Line Bombs to the College Experience to the UFL Gambling Podcast.
And he's waiting for the CFL Gambling Podcast. He's told me this. All right. Now we're talking, Channing. You are the man, brother.
You know, everybody thinks I'm crazy when at the, like, last year, the very end of all our fantasy football drafts, I drafted Nathan Rourke because I'm like, one injury and this guy could be phenomenal in the NFL. I mean, we saw it in the preseason. He almost got sacked. He was able to bend out of it and still throw a perfect pass. Everybody's like, who is that? I'm like, you guys need to watch CFL. You'll know who Nathan
Rourke
is.
Now, he got cut, though, right? He's on another team now, right? Isn't he? Is he still on Jacksonville?
Yeah. He's on the Patriots now.
That's what I thought. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. I thought I saw that. Interesting. That's going to be fascinating to see. And look, all it takes, I firmly believe more than any other position, no one knows what they're talking about with quarterbacks. I mean, yeah. The Brock Purdy one's a perfect example. Him being in the seventh round, or Brady. I mean, there's so many. Russell Wilson. I mean, me and my brother were sold on Russell Wilson. I remember watching him when he played ECU as a freshman, and I was like, who the fuck is this? I was like, this guy is really good. I just think that they don't know what they're doing. All it takes is a shot to get in the game. You saw it with Taylor Heinicke. Now, I know he's not a starter, but I'm saying he finally got that shot and he got paid for it. You know what I mean? Yeah. Somewhat. So he was still better than what they thought they would. They thought he was a guy that would barely make a roster. He ends up now second string quarterback somewhere. So, you know, they're wrong all the time on quarterbacks, all the fucking time.
Heineke's got that spring football dog in him, though. So, yeah. I mean, he's an exception there, but
it's true. But he's a gamer. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, so you can't, you mainly only learn that by actually getting in the game.
Yeah. Before we let you go, I wanted to let everybody know we have a contest going on, and I know you're a Washington fan, sort of. I'm sure you'd be a bigger fan if they changed their name back to the Redskins.
Yeah, I don't support them right now, but I did grow up a Jets fan too, so you can credit me as a Jets fan then.
Jets fan. Well, I don't have any Jets gear. I do have a couple Commanders gear, but it's Emmanuel.
I just ruined the whole thing. No, you just said good. Okay.
No. It's Emmanuel Forbes. Didn't have a great year last year. I got a Cole Kelly jersey that went for super cheap, and I'm like, I'm going to throw that in with the gifts, but or the prizes. You can see Darren Waller, Frank Gore back here. We got this really cool J.K. Dobbins lunar eclipse helmet.
Awesome.
All sorts of stuff. And just to celebrate that it's NFL draft month, we're covering the draft all month. Basically, you got to subscribe to our YouTube. Then you go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/OFF contest and just upload a screenshot and give us a contact so we know how to reach you. That's all it's going to be used for. Like, reach out to you, say, hey, you won. And everybody that enters, we're putting you on a randomizer wheel. It's going to randomize the first person picked, gets the first draft pick, second draft pick, and you're drafting the items. We got a bunch of them. So make sure you sign up.
Stuff. I've failed us at taking photos. Somebody on one of the socials said this is fake. I was like, well, come on. I don't have time to take all these professional photos of our stuff yet, but it's not fake. We've got a lot of cool stuff.
What an asshole comment. This is fake.
This is fake.
Right? It wasn't this is fake. It was, this is all fake. LMAO. It's like, oh, okay.
So we got jerseys behind us for people. It's not fake.
Right.
Don't let them get to you. Don't let them get to you, Miranda. Like, you got to answer back saying, hey, fuck you. You know what I mean? Like, that's pass it, but you pass it to J Mark on that one, because, like, if you don't want to say it, pass it to me. I'll say it.
Okay.
All right.
I'm going to put you
right
on that.
Yeah.
You should see Colby in the Reddit wars.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. People are vicious. They just don't have time. Like, well, I don't have enough time to prove to you that we're giving away really cool stuff. So I guess he's not going to be.
Yeah. Well, it's his loss.
He's
his
not going to be on the draft.
Yeah. yeah, that's right. But yeah, anyway, sign up for the contest. It's easy to sign up for. And all you got to do is be subscribed. So it's free. It's going to be fun. We need to add some whiskey in there, something from Ace Spirits. I think we sweeten the pot a little bit and get some.
Throw a bottle.
Well, if you get that mini helmet, you should put a little airport bottle or two inside the helmet.
There you go.
This thing is cool.
He thinks they only get the helmet. They open it up. It is cool. And they open it up and boom, there's some you know,
I like
some
it.
Extra goodies in there.
Yeah. Yeah. If anybody wants to win that helmet and give it to me, I'm not
just
a
make sure they're over 21. Or you don't want the feds coming for you. You know what I mean? Yeah.
And when you if you ever ship alcohol, you say it's
hot sauce, big bottle of hot sauce.
That's the rule. Anything else you want to add? And tell everybody, I mean, the Pick Dundee, tell them where they can find you.
Oh, you can find me on the interwebs, as George Bush said, at the Colby D on Twitter. And I'm not going to give you my Facebook and shit, cause I'm not going to accept you, cause I don't know who the hell you are. The host of the College Football Experience, the College Basketball Experience, the College Baseball Experience. We did a Frozen Four episode for hockey too, two of them. Also, the UFL, I almost said USFL gambling podcast, and the CFL gambling podcast this year. Am I missing any? I don't remember, but I appreciate, I appreciate coming on the show. It's always fun to talk to you guys. Yeah, well, so
we're also happy to have you back. And
you're also on the main show. Don't forget that. You're on the main show very often.
Gambling podcast. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. As much as CJ Sullivan wants to give you shit for saying you're on it.
Yeah, I like to plug that. I was on a main show, and well, sometimes, you know, some people snorkel, some scuba dive. You know what I mean? I like to give those guys a hard time on the main show because, you know,
yeah,
they're snorkeling around the top of the water. We go deep over on the college football experience. We go deep down there where you can't see much. You know, like, you ever seen that movie, The Abyss, Ed Harris? I'm down there hanging out. You know what I mean? Watching Jackson State football or something, you know? So let's go.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, you do episodes on every program.
Yeah.
We're getting 200 some.
Yes. We have the FCS college football experience too. So when you add it all together, it's like, you know, it's about 260 some teams. College basketball, it's actually 360. So, but yeah, we give the same amount of attention that Alabama would get. We give that same amount of attention to Grambling, as they should. You know what I mean? In my opinion. So check us out. If the FCS isn't your cup of tea, the same amount of attention I give Alabama, the same I give to Appalachian State or Boise State or Wyoming or whoever. So check us out.
And if you missed it this year, for sure, make sure next year when the college basketball experience is rolling every night, join. It's late at night. It's fun. It's kind of like checking into a party, and there's all sorts of different conversations going on. There's different music. I mean, it's a lot of fun, and the chat is always just off the chains. It is insane. So as long as Russia doesn't try to take it over, it's always a good place to be.
It did get suspended by Russia. Yeah. I didn't think. I'm very concerned as an American that they took me off YouTube for 3 weeks for playing "I'm a Real American" by Hulk Hogan, but it's okay. It's okay. Made it through. Yeah, made it through. Apparent collusion. So I can't do the Trump. No collusion. No, apparent collusion there. But check us out. Appreciate you. Appreciate the shout out, Jay Mark.
Yeah, for sure.
And don't forget, East Carolina.
Let's go.
I asked Sean to send me that. I had to have it.
You got it. You got it.
Yeah. Miranda, did you have anything else you wanted to add?
No, just thank you for coming on. It's been a great time. And absolutely. Anyone listening, stay tuned for our giveaways at the end of the month or in May.
Yeah, I will be first gone week of May because you're going to be skipping out. But she'll be over gone? On your coast.
Was she going to Cancun or something? Where's going? Yeah.
Oregon.
Oregon. Okay. I'll be on the Oregon coast. So, not breaking my ankle.
Goonies. Oh. What's the line? Goonies stay friends forever or something. I don't know. There's some line with Goonies, and that takes place on the Oregon coast.
Yes.
That's what I thought they were going to. Goonies never lie. Is that what it is?
Never die. No,
never die. Never die.
Never
you're
die?
Right. You're right.
Never
you're right.
Die.
You're right. You're right. Right. Goonies never die. Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Yeah. We went and when we were up there, saw some of the Goonies places. We
saw the house.
Yeah. House is up in Washington.
It's in Astoria.
Oh, yeah. Astoria. That's right. Yeah. And it's not much to see. You can't get up to it.
Somebody
anymore.
Owns it now.
They didn't have like just a gigantic refrigerator in the basement full of a bunch of ice cream. Because that's like
they might have.
That's how you'll know I'm rich, by the way. If I ever make a bunch of money, I don't care how small my house is. If I have a gigantic freezer with like over 100 flavors of ice cream. Mm-hmm. That's when you know I've made
that's
it.
That's it.
That's why I really do the podcast. You know?
There you go.
Gotta have goals.
Yeah, exactly. Miranda, looks like your whiskey's almost gone. Going once, going twice.
Sold.